listening to Tassie and Carla's Moments on Faith FM. And we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And we've got David Leo back, continuing our program for this week, the courtyard, or Jesus in the courtyard. And we've been talking about the courtyard in general, and then yesterday we talked about the door.
That's right.
Jesus as the door. And today we're moving on as the first, I guess, real object that you see in the courtyard. When you went through the door, you would see right in front of you would be this altar.
That's right. And this is an important part, and I've mentioned this before in a very loose sense for those who don't understand what an altar is. It's like a fire pit and basically like a massive barbecue. But, you know, one of the things that happened today, I don't know if you've been to a typical Australian barbecue, I don't think many people actually slaughter the animal in order to barbecue. It's usually in a package already done by the butchers, and you know, that comes into the...
And I think that's probably a good time where we can just put a warning in, is that we are going to be talking about the animal sacrifices and sacrifices today.
Yeah.
So if you've got young ears listening, you may wish to switch it off. But, yeah, I think...
On top of that, Jason, we're actually going to talk about Jesus on the cross as well.
Yeah.
So that's a confronting image.
And I think the thing is that people who eat meat and put it on the barbecue, it all comes in a nice little package.
Yes.
Right?
We
don't see the messiness.
That's right. That's right.
We don't see the slaughter. And I think if more people had to actually kill the animal in order to eat the meat, I think we'd have a few more vegetarians.
I wonder. That's an interesting theory. Yeah, because I remember the first time it happened to me when I went to Samoa. My cousin, you know, there was a whole heap of chickens, you know, running around, and he chose a chicken, and I was amazed. This chicken just started running off, and I said, "Is that the one you're after?" Yeah, and he had a stone, you know, through the stone, and then that was the first time in my life that I seen a living animal.
Yeah.
And then two or three hours later, it's sitting in a curry, you know. And I actually paused for a minute thinking, oh, I saw that chicken running around a few hours ago. And that was that revealed to me that my living in New Zealand was a very sheltered life. And I think I speak for a lot of people. I mean, you've had to do a disclaimer of how sheltered we are from not seeing things like that.
It's hidden
in order
us.
To, yeah, in order
doesn't
to
appreciate. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, though.
No, that's right. Mm. You know, when you speak with, you know, my wife, she's from Cambodia, right? The stories, some of the stories that the dad has shared with me, I don't think I'll ever see that in my lifetime. I'm not gonna discount it, but it just goes to show how sheltered we are from these things, and that we're very sensitive to it. And one of the first things that you have to acknowledge in the sanctuary when it comes to the altar is who Jesus is in this relationship and who we are. And the sacrifice on the animal, because the person coming into the sanctuary is bringing the sacrifice. You know, they are actually responsible for using the blade, and they cut at the neck because that's where the blood gushes the most, and then that blood is used as the to reconcile for the sins of the person, right? And then the animal is put on the altar, and the priest carries this all out for the sinner that's bringing the sacrifice. And what is horrifying, right, is this person cared for this animal. Well, that was the idea. They're the ones that brought them up. They probably gave it a name. The family knew it, you know. And now, because of the way we are, it's now responsible for, it's now taking on the sin of the person. And then In John 1 verse 29, they actually give us a hint of what this means, right? John says this about Jesus, John the Baptist.
He says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yep, that's huge,
right?
Everything that the ancient Israelites were practicing from that time up to Jesus' time was basically looking forward to Jesus who does it once and for all, right? There's no need for all these sacrifices to be taken anymore. And
yeah, we can be thankful for that.
that
we don't have to continue doing
these
sacrifices.
Imagine church service being like that every time we went to church, right?
Mm.
And so this takes Jesus on the cross to do this. And this is something that's very, very, I think I use the word confrontational.
Mm.
When I read the book Desire of Ages, and it went through some chapters of, went through the chapters in Matthew and Mark and Jesus' death on the cross, and kind of elaborated on what he was going through, what the lamb is, the 49 lashes plus one, on the back. And then I imagine the open wounds on a splintered cross, and then the thorns that were put on his head. I thought, man, the first thing that came out of my prayer when I did that, because, I didn't know Jesus very well at the time. This was a turning point in my life. I said, why did you do that? I could do that myself. Right. And that, just thinking the way I thought back then, that's how confronting, knowing what this relationship's going to be, is understanding that the God, the creator of the universe, actually did that on your behalf.
Mm.
That's something that's, no, you shouldn't have done that. That's not for you to do. That's, you're too good for that. That's something I should be doing.
Mm.
But the fact of the matter is, we can't do anything about that, right? In our sinful nature, we need the help of the Creator to get us out of our sinful state, right? And there's lots to it. If we could read Romans 5 verse 18 and 19, please, Jason.
Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous.
Now, when this is Paul speaking, and he's referring to a man who made a particular decision and led to the disobedience of all.
We're talking about Adam.
We're talking about Adam, right? And it's
interesting he didn't mention Eve, but we won't get onto that.
Right, yeah. And so through Adam, all humans are now, we all face the sinful nature that we can't do anything to...
We can't remove our sinful nature.
We can't remove it. It's something that's impossible, Only the Creator can do it because He's the one that's taking responsibility. Mm. He's the one that said, I'm going to look after them, and if they make the wrong decision, he could have said, too bad. They're gone. They were a failed experiment, right? But instead he said, no, I according to the Bible, Leviticus 17, verse 11, could you read that, please, Jason?
Yep, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life.
So, We know that life comes through the blood, right?
Mm.
In all, should I use the word fairness? By fairness, because Adam forfeited the life that comes from Christ, we should be non-existent. But Jesus, instead of just stepping away and saying, okay, earth, big cross, we won't do that again, he said, no, I'm going to become one like them, that they may see that righteousness is possible to them, that the Creator can become a human being, looking forward, and not only becoming a human being, what the death that Adam and Eve should have experienced, they won't. It's just going to be.
And what we're talking about here is not just the temporary death that that Jesus referred to as sleep.
Correct. Yeah.
We're talking about eternal death. So every one of us should experience eternal death.
Eternal separation. Yeah.
Eternal separation from God because of sin.
That's right.
But because of Jesus, He makes a way possible so that we don't have to experience that eternal death.
Correct. Man, that's we've only got a couple of minutes left, but it's huge what you just said, right? Because none of us know what eternal separation feels like, but we understand what separation feels like.
When people die now, as believers, we still are upset.
That's right.
Even though we know that there's a possibility we're going to see them again.
Correct. Mm. So you've got that separation, and then you've got the understanding that there's sometimes we wake up and we're just, what's the purpose of life?
Mm.
Why am I here? Why am I doing what I do? Mm. You know, that separation of not having those ambitions, you know, and knowing that, hey, we do have a creator that is that takes away the sin of the world, that could really cause some death-defying moments for us. And Jesus provides the way and says, hey, I'm the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. You know, focus on me. So the cross, it's got a double coin to it. It can make you feel real bad, but it's the most freeing thing that we can have in our lives, and we should be grateful for it.
Because it provides us another hope.
That's right.
Yeah. Correct. Absolutely. What are the key elements of starting a new relationship? That's our question for you this week. Text us in on 0488 880 891.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer today is called It's All About Him by Lee Vendon. After Jesus, everything else is hardly worth talking about. This book will move you beyond religious theory into a deeper walk with God. Lee Vendon explains in simple terms how to make friends with Jesus. Using a blend of stories, parables, and plain teaching, he explains how to surrender your will, how to be converted daily, and how to experience Christ's transforming power. Jesus will meet your every need and fulfill your deepest heart longings. It's not what you do that counts or what you know. It's whom you know. So that's our book offer. Text in TEM08, no spaces, to 0488 880 891.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Well, that was a mistake, but anyway, we got it again, the promo. Oh. We're all good. This is Behold the Lamb of God as we go out today by Laura Story and featuring Brandon Heath. Join us tomorrow as we look at Jesus, the water of life. May you encounter Behold Jesus today.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God, who comes to take away our sin.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.